Zoe, you'll never guess what happened. I have some major tea to spill.
Wait, hold on. Should we put this on the pod?
You literally read my mind.
All right, Taylor, I'm gonna grab the mic. You better kiss and tell.
Duh, what's the fun of being all secretive anyways? All right, let's get into it.
Boom. And we're on.
And we're back.
And we're live. Welcome to another episode of I Only Kiss and Tell.
Bow, 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 bow. Hey guys, we're back. Bonjour.
Buongiorno.
We have some debriefing to do. We have a lot to catch you guys up on, so I think we should just get straight into it.
As you know, we just got back from France. It's literally the only thing we've talked about for 2 months. So it's finally come to a climax. We came.
We came, we saw, we conquered. Literally, physically, spiritually.
I have to say, I fucking love the French. I feel like, first of all, my God, are they sexy. One thing about the French, they're easy on the eyes.
Easy on the eyes. And I don't know what this French slander is about, but every single Frenchman and Frenchwoman were so kind to us. Helpful, offering free directions, free services, free looks, all of it.
There was a lot of generosity. I feel like the French get a bad rep. But I think as long as you look good, like I think they appreciate you putting effort into your look because they're so sexy. As long as you look good and are nice and you say, bonjour, parlez-vous anglais?
Parlez-vous anglais? Yeah, no problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. They'll help you, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So let's just get into it. We've been edging you.
Yeah.
It's time to talk about our travels.
Get to the tea. Yeah, so we hop on our flight. 10 hours direct SFO to Paris. First things first. I'm so lucky that I have the entire road to myself. Zoe and Shannon, our other friend, sitting right behind me. So it was ideal seating situation.
It was not an ideal seating situation for me. Shannon, love you. Shout out. You are great. Taylor was reclining that chair so far into my knees. We've actually not discussed this.
Hold on.
That shit was slamming my knees.
Zoe, it's just how far back the seat goes. Don't blame me. Blame the airplane.
Hey.
Okay? Everyone's reclining their seat. That's what happens on airplanes. Deal with it.
For some reason, I think I had a really short foot room in the because we were on the very back of the plane. Like, we were the last row.
No, not the last row of the plane, the last row of our section. We weren't, like, the back of the back of the plane.
I don't, what's behind me doesn't matter. All I know is I had no one behind me. It's fine.
Anyways, we had a sexy stewardess, and is that what they're called?
Stewart, he was a man.
He was a man. He was sexy. He had a little salt and gray, a little salt and pepper hair. His pants were so tight on his ass.
That tight little French ass.
Ugh. I don't know if it was just the sexual tension in the airplane, the fact that we were flying to France and we were free of all responsibilities, but I was like, this man is doing something for me.
I actually couldn't even look at him. Like when he was like, would you like a water? I was like,
I forgot sure. How to speak.
See? Wait, we?
Yeah.
No, I was actually like, Zoe, get a grip. You've seen hot people before. But for some reason, this male steward really got me going in the air and I forgot how to speak.
Yeah, so that and a crying baby for literally 9 hours basically got us to France.
Number one, fuck that baby. Number two,
fuck that baby.
Fuck that baby. I felt bad for the parents. I felt I could sense the stress of the parents because that kid wasn't just crying. He was full guttural screaming, like, tribal.
They need to get his vocal cords checked after that flight. Screaming for 9 hours straight can't be good for anyone.
No, I think that kid has straight up vocal fry.
Yeah. So that was the flight. We land in Paris. We immediately go to our Airbnb, change into some cunty little outfits, and go to the nearest bar. We meet up with our friends. We order 12 Aperol Spritz. We start smoking our cigarettes. We're looking around. We're people watching. We're seeing the sexy Frenchmen all around us. They're wearing flip-flops, and for some reason, I was kind of into it. The first time I've seen a man wear a flip-flop, and I'm like, yeah, that looks good. He can pull it off.
It was because it was a Havana.
It was. And he was sitting next to us, smoking a cigarette, drinking a glass of rosé. I think it was just the combo.
The whole aesthetic was not bad. And I have to say, we were there during a heat wave.
Yeah.
Sweltering. Oh my God.
I think
God.
I was dehydrated for 2 weeks straight. I drank 30 Aperol Spritz, about 10 bottles of rosé, probably had 40 cigarettes.
One glass of water.
Literally.
And that glass of water came from ice. From the Aperol Spritz.
It was just melted down Aperol Spritz. Yeah, so we met up with our friends. We bop around. We go shopping. It was so hot, and we honestly didn't sleep at all on that flight. So we went back home, or went back to our Airbnb, rested for a little bit, and then boom, got ready for Crazy Horse. That was, I think, one of my favorite nights in Paris.
For those who don't know, Crazy Horse is a burlesque show, topless dancers, tight, again, the French with their tight little asses.
The beauty standards.
There's something about them. We watched the show. I have to say, it was not porny at all. It was just, it was an art form. It was stunning. These people, the lighting, the pyrotechnics.
The wigs, the outfits, or maybe not outfits. All of their boobs, same size. All of their butts, same size. All of their curvature, same size. I was like, how did you get copy-paste versions of these women?
Yeah.
It was stunning. We had 3 bottles of champagne. We all dressed up. And we had the best time.
It was so much fun. I would highly recommend anyone who's interested in a burlesque show to go check out Crazy Horse. It surpassed the expectations of what I wanted for that evening. And I got really turned on. I'm not going to lie to you. And for some reason, I got horny on this trip maybe 10 times. And every single time I was next to Shannon, I was like, literally get away from me. I'm Pavloving myself into getting turned on when I'm next to you.
Oh my God. Yeah. The proximity was just too close for comfort.
There was this one night, maybe it was that night, her and I both had sex dreams. And for some reason, we both slept topless. I was like, you need to get away from me.
Crazy Horse really did something to you guys.
It got us going.
Yeah. So we went clubbing after that. We bounced around. I think we went to bed at 3 or 4 in the morning. Woke up the next day and had a full fucking day. Zoe and I made our way to a different district that we hadn't been to in Paris before. And we went to something called the Artist Square, which is probably like 30 to 40 artists all sitting in this square. It was almost more of a historic part of Paris. And they're all doing self-portraits of people. So you can pick and choose your style. You sit there, you get your self-portrait done. This was highly on Zoe's bucket list. And I was like, I'm going to go with you. I'm down. Let's do it. My one request, I don't want it to look like a caricature. I had trauma from a past caricature drawing of me that looked nothing like me. And it gave me body dysmorphia.
Wait, let's describe the caricature. Okay. Taylor has an angel baby face. I've always said this. That's why she can get away with her crimes, because she looks the way she does. Hi, this caricature that she got at a work event. She looks like she's 60 years old. She's had a double facelift.
You guys, it's bad. Like, we should put up a photo of this so you guys can see.
It looks like she's a Catwoman. Like, it maybe there's like a 2% resemblance, but it's sabotage. It is. And sabotage. It gave her a complex.
So I was like, okay, I'm down to get a self-portrait done as long as it's not giving caricature. Zoe's like, these are artistes. It's not going to look anything like that. I'm like, okay, I trust. I saw the vision. We walked around. We were like, who are we going to go to? Because you can pick and choose. Zoe lands on this one guy and she's like, I really like the way his look pretty realistic and the sketching with the pencil. I want to go to this guy. I was like, oh, I also like his style. But you have to wait. It's like 25-ish minutes. And so she's getting going and he's like, oh, go to my friend right next to me. She does the same style. And I look at her picture and I'm like, I don't know if that's the same style. But he was like, no, I promise. It's the same. She's great. I was like, okay, hi, peer pressure. I sit down. This girl is giving, what's that girl from Harry Potter?
Oh my God, let's look up her name.
You know who I'm talking about, yes. Right? What is her name?
Bellatrix.
She's giving Bellatrix from Harry Potter. She's looking over the painting, smiling maniacally at me, drawing me, sketching me. People are coming up and taking photos. I'm like, oh, is this going well? Is this going not well? People are like, oh, so beautiful. I'm like, okay, maybe this is going to be good.
I mean, it was like you're sitting in the chair and everyone's like, they're looking at the portrait, they're looking at you, and they're like, it looks just like you. It's good.
Yeah, so I'm like, lovely. I'm so excited to see this. 20 minutes go by. She's done. She shows me. And I'm like, oh, I love it.
I clocked that tea right away. Her voice got really high, and she went, haha, I love it. And I went, she hates it.
My
I heard
lying
it.
Voice.
I heard it in the voice.
Yeah, so let's just say caricature round 2. I played myself.
I don't know why people draw you like that.
It almost was like the same exact one as my first one.
It was identical.
I need to put up both of these photos for you guys to see and tell me that I'm not crazy, okay? So anyways, that gave me a complex for about 30 minutes after. I got a little bit stressed. I got a little bit sad. Then I drank an Aperol spritz. Didn't even matter anymore.
Yeah, it was a bit unfortunate. My portrait was a bit better. It was
Yours is cute.
Mine's cute. He and I were chatting the whole time. I felt like we had a rapport. He kept telling me I looked like the women that he grew up with. So I was like, okay, mommy issues.
Interesting.
Are you telling me I look like your mommy? And is that sexual? I can't tell.
Okay.
Then he kept telling me, oh, you're so beautiful. I was like, yeah, noted. Then some other guy comes up to him and starts speaking French.
Mm-hmm.
Cancel me for that. That's how y'all sound. Then, and this friend apparently said to him, oh, make sure to get her breasts in the photo.
Yep. You better get those in there.
You better get those Tigo bitties in your reference photo. And basically my artist said, oh, I don't have the space for them. I'm focusing on the face.
They're too damn big.
The mommy milkers are too big. So don't love that a grown man told another man to sketch my bosom.
I kind of do. Honestly.
It's pillowy.
The man's got taste.
The man knows. So anyways, he drew me. I look like myself, but maybe like 5 years younger.
Yeah, you look like a baby Barbie version of you.
Yeah, and he even put a little crown on me, which was like so cutesy. Cute.
Yeah. So we'll take photos of them, compare them, and show you guys what we got done. I almost left mine behind, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to look back at this one day and
I almost keep felt this. Like back to Zoe's Christian hour, because I always talk about Christianity. I felt like it was your cross to carry. I felt like you were Jesus Christ carrying the cross with you to your final destination. Like, I know how much you hated that portrait, and yet you lugged that across the entire country of France, even through the heat, even when we had nowhere to put it, even if it was tucked underneath your chin because your hands were full. I was like, this is her literal cross.
Yeah. You know what? If it's going to teach me something, it's that sometimes you just got to laugh at yourself. So we're taking that with us. We're biting the bullet. But what we do after that, I guess we walked to the Eiffel Tower.
We couldn't get a drink anywhere. We just wanted to get an iced tea. And people were like, you have to eat lunch. And I was like,
like, we're not hungry. We just want a drink. And they're like, get out of here.
I was like,
no.
I thought the French didn't eat.
Yeah.
And yet y'all are forcing me to have lunch.
Please. Went to the Eiffel Tower, met up with our friends. Went on an Aperol Spritz tour, basically just bopped around drinking Aperol Spritz because it was so freaking hot.
Then we move on to our next destination, chapter 2 of the trip.
The beginning of this journey, slightly chaotic. We call an Uber. First off, we extremely overpack, you guys. I don't know why Zoe and I brought 2 rolly duffels and another duffel over our shoulder and a backpack. Who do we think we are? I'm not sure. But we call an Uber to take us to the train station because we can't miss our train. There's one train that goes to this rural part of France that we're going to. Taxi pulls up. They're like, no, too much luggage. We can't take you. Drives away. So we have to call 2 separate taxis to get us to this train station. Well, they drop us off on the metro side. So we run down the steps with all of our luggage. We get inside. We're trying to tap our ticket. We're like, wait, this is the metro. This is not where the trains are. We have 7 minutes to make our train. Zoe runs up to this old man and was like, parlez-vous anglais? And he was like, no. And so we just shows him the ticket, literally on her phone. And we were like, please, please help us. Honestly, we don't know where we're going. Like, SOS.
Time is ticking. We have 3 minutes to get to this train. We're sweating profusely.
And we just carried our 50-pound suitcases down a flight of stairs.
We went upstairs.
No, we went down first, and then we had to go back up.
It was way too much manual labor for what we were doing. He looks at us. I say, parlez-vous, please, anglais. He looks at me. He goes, where are you from? And I said,
America,
which I never say America. I always say California, but for some reason I was like, the United States of America. And he goes, oh, offended immediately. And he looks at us. He goes, follow me in French. And so he then walks us out of the train station, up the stairs, down the stairs, out of the station, and points us in the right direction. And he says, go that way.
And he was like, go, go, go. So me, Shannon, and Zoe start sprinting.
Sprinting. I've actually never run at full speed like that.
Carrying 50 pounds.
I wanted to give up so bad at one point, and I was like, you gotta keep going. You can't give up, Zoe. Not right now.
No, so somehow by a miracle, we find our train. We hop on. As soon as we get on this fucking train, you guys, it literally leaves. We made it with 5 seconds to spare.
Yeah.
We get in the train. We have to lug our huge ass bags in our little carriage. And we're sitting next to 5 French kids, which was so hilarious because it was Bastille Day and they were all on a field trip down south to Toulouse. And we were just using Google Translate to speak with them. We were literally asking them their favorite colors, their favorite sports. We were giggling. We were making fun of each other. One of the kids didn't have shoes on, and we were like, why don't you have shoes on? Where are your shoes? And everyone was just laughing. They ended up drawing us some photos and saying, I love you, Shannon. I love you, Taylor. I love you, Zoe. And we made it to rural France.
Now, this is really the main leg of the trip. This is the whole reason we came, is because one of our best friends got married. She got hitched to her betrothed. It was time for her to tie the knot, and we have actually been looking forward to this for a year. Day one, we finally arrived to our Airbnb to throw our stuff down, which, by the way, the Airbnb was built in 1840, so I already was hornied.
It was this cute little bed and breakfast, and they had, what, like 10 different rooms? And it was a bunch of other couples or friends that are our same age staying there, so it was just like a giant house of friends, which was a lot of fun.
Of the bride and the groom. So everyone was spending the entire week together. It was amazing. We finally get to the cocktail hour, night one. This is when it was time for us to suss out the vibes. Who's hot? Who's not? Who's single? Who has cigs? We need to get to know. Taylor and I were charged with photography, which I actually feel like is such an easy icebreaker, because you can go up to anyone and be like, hi, we're the photographers for the evening. Let me take a photo of you. You guys look so hot and sexy. What are your names?
Easy. Also, if you know anything about me and Zoe, we are PR queens. We know how to get the angle. We know how to take a photo. We also know how to be social and come up to you and start a conversation. So that was our perfect job. So Zoe and I are bopping around. At this point, I think I've had 10 glasses of rosé and half a piece of pizza. So I'm tipsed.
Yeah. I'm tipsed at this point.
We're exploring the chateau. Gorgeous pool table room. Furniture from the 1800s. The grounds were insane. Pickleball courts, tennis courts, barnyards, rose gardens. Just the most stunning chateau I think I've ever been at in my entire life.
Also, who the fuck gets married in a chateau? I felt like it was a royal wedding. It was out of a fucking magazine.
It was giving Bridgerton. It was giving Saltburn. It was giving royal wedding. I was completely obsessed. And my new thing is, we've been watching Love Island, obviously. Love Island is, sure, great. You're in a bikini 24/7. I don't want to be in a bikini on national television. But what I realized is a love chateau is more my vibe. Dressing up in ball gowns, doing your hair and makeup, running around the property. Now that is more my speed.
Peacock, get on it.
Love chateau.
Get on it. So this was the night where we kind of met all the characters.
Did I make out with someone night one? Maybe.
Is her name Taylor Hamilton? Yes.
Does a bear shit in the woods? Yes. So night one, have already made out with one target.
Target acquired.
Yeah. He was like, you want to come back with me? And I was like, no, this is night one. I'm still open. I'm still exploring other connections. He was like, okay.
Wait, how'd you start talking to him?
I don't remember. Well, at first, you and I went up to them and took photos of them, like the very first time we met them.
Our opening.
But then the second time around, I'm not sure how we started talking, but we were flirting, and Zoe actually took a video of us, which was so funny. And then somehow we ended up in the pool table room. We were playing pool. We stole a bottle of rosé, and we were running around. And then he was like, Taylor, can I pull you for a chat? And I was like, sure. So we like run outside, and then we just start making out in front of the chateau. And I was like, we can't do this in front of the chateau. People are going to see. I'm still open to exploring other connections. So I pull him to the side of the chateau and then start making out with him up against the wall of the chateau there. And then I was like, okay, goodbye. I'll see you tomorrow. And he was like, that's it. And I was like, yeah, it's a long week.
You always got to leave him wanting more. Exactly. You can't make yourself too available.
Never.
Men love bitches.
Men love bitches.
So that was night one. There was a going home shuttle. We said, we're not getting on that. We're drunk and we're having fun. And I haven't made out with anyone yet. I'm going to get mine. Did I? No.
Is her name Zoe Rubens?
Yes. Yes. Did I get any on night one? No.
Oh, yeah. So we basically go home. We debrief the night. We hang out at our bed and breakfast with all the other couples. We drink some more. End up going to bed at what, like 2 a.m. maybe?
That's early. Maybe 3.
Maybe 3. Who knows? Next day, pool party. So we get up in the morning, we have a slow morning, get breakfast, walk around the little town that we're in. And by little town, I mean actually population 50. And I think the age minimum is 70 years old.
And the looks have to be ogre.
Literally. Like, just think rural France where all they do is eat cheese. That's basically where we were.
I want you to think about it. I want you to visualize it. And I want you to smell it.
The stink. The level of stink in the French country.
Oh my God. Oh. I'm going to say you guys are visually so appealing, but there's a little stinky minky element happening.
There was one point when we were in a grocery store and someone walked by us. Zoe and I audibly gagged out loud. That's how bad the stench was.
I almost thought someone shit their pants and left it there for a month.
It was so horrible. Okay, anyways, back to day two. Pool party.
Back. Tangent. We're done with that. Chapter three. The pool party. So we get to the pool party. We've laid the foundation. Now we're going in for the kill. Everyone's bikini clad.
We're playing games on the lawn. Everyone's drinking a little rosé, a little Aperol spritz.
At this point, I am starving.
We've eaten nothing.
We haven't eaten the night before. We were training and planning and everything else. There was no food to be had. By this time, they had a tuna melt in the sun and I went, thank you, Jesus. Need it.
Downed it.
Downed it.
Yeah, at this point, you guys, our diet was bread, cheese, Aperol spritz, and rosé. Skinny legends.
Skinny.
Yeah, so pool party was fun. We were in the pool. We were on the tennis courts. We were exploring the grounds. We found a hidden trampoline. I made friends with two of Felix's little cousins. They were like 6 and 7 years old. And they kept calling me Taylor. And they'd be like, Taylor, can you have a sleepover at my house, please? Can you ask mommy if we could have a sleepover? So they were my little minions for the week. And they were so adorable. I was like throwing them in the pool. They were running around the grounds with me.
While she's doing this, I'm in the pool. I'm with Felix, who's the groom's sister. Shout out. Love you, queen.
We love Tallulah.
She's very outspoken, very, very fun. I feel like she doesn't give a fuck in the best type of way. I'm in a little inner tube. She's prancing me around in the pool. And we're swinging up group to group to group. She's like, let's get our chat on. Let's get our flirt on. Let's see who about these boys is intriguing. So we're going from group to group. Hi, how are you? What are you guys into? What are you guys doing? The energy we got back was zero.
Negator.
We were both like, dude, does no one know how to have chat these days? No one. I don't know what accent that was.
No one knows how to wordplay. Wordplay is equally as important as foreplay.
We were already revved up. We were ready. We were looking for a midnight bay.
Where is the cheeky banter?
We got none. So I actually, at that point, I was like, Tallulah, you're my newest target at this point. You're the only one with chat here. Well, you're my sibling. Don't point to yourself.
Yeah, fair. So odds, yeah. I don't know what was going on with the boys at this wedding, but I feel like none of them took initiative to go up and start conversation or create any kind of space. And I'm like, what's the point? Why are we doing all the work? I'm not a chaser, but I want to talk and have fun and play and be flirty.
At that point, I was like, I actually am interested in none of you. None at all. But now you're about to get fucked with. You're not going to get fucked. You're going to get fucked with. At this point,
it's straight up just enemies to lovers. And not even to lovers. It's just enemies. We just started roasting fest.
Enemies to maybe acquaintances at this point.
Maybe.
Like, maybe.
No. While this is also happening, the guy that I had made out with the night before was telling my friends that I was his wife and that he's going to be the father of our future children. And I'm like, little does he know, I do not want kids. Thank you very much. It was actually hilarious. Our friends were like, what is going on over here? I think that's his level of banter and like the British cheeky humor.
They're extra.
That was his way of being an entertainer.
Like, they don't like rage bait. They just like say stuff to bait you, though. They're just saying stuff to get any sort of reaction, and then they're gonna give you like a little smirk.
Yeah, it was hilarious. So pool party ends, we go back to our bed and breakfast, take a quick little nap, start getting ready for night two is the rehearsal dinner. Okay, summer formal. We're all dressed in gorgeous pastel gowns. Hair, face, on lock. Body, tea. Everyone is serving. We were giving Bridgerton.
So to set the scene, we are at the Chateau HQ, where all of our events are. And in the back, there is this incredible long table, perfectly manicured, decorated. And we're all sitting together. This is when it got a little interesting, though, because this is when the bride and groom did their assigned seating. So they're like putting us together with their fucking single friends. We're the single girls. They're the single guys. And so we had what I would say finally some sort of banter. And the banter was true enemies to lovers. These motherfuckers, and you know who you are, and I know you're listening because you follow the goddamn podcast.
Hey.
Hi.
We miss you.
There we go. They basically are like, you guys have a podcast? I would never date a girl who has a podcast. Who asked?
No one asked.
I don't want to date you.
It's funny because they actually didn't even tell us that. We pieced this together later in the night because they had told one of our friends that. And our friend was like, literally no one asked. Why are you this bothered? So we're talking about our podcast at the table. Casual dinner conversation, obviously. Are we replaying some of our stories? Duh. We're here for the entertainment. We're here for the banter. We're here for the shock factor. Exactly. So one of them goes to the bathroom, comes back and was like, when I was in the bathroom, I completely stalked your entire Instagram and watched all the videos. I'm like, oh.
So you are intrigued.
I thought you weren't interested in the podcast. Interesting. Interesting.
So because we could really dish it out, and kudos to him, because he could take it.
Yeah. He was a good sport.
And he dished it right back. That he low-key became my favorite entity of the entire trip. I'm low-key obsessed with you. I think you're so fun. So that was like, I don't know, like the beginning of the end for us. That's when chain smoking began. That's when drinks are all the way to the top. I don't understand how I didn't black out. Genuinely.
Genuinely.
I should have been on the floor with the consumption that I had.
At this point, halfway through the dinner, one of our friends runs up to us and was like, come inside the chateau. So we scurry along. We're running up the steps of the chateau, clutching our dresses and our pearls. We get inside. We each take a little mushroom chocolate and we continue on the night. We go chain smoke in the front yard with a bunch of boys that we, you know, bummed cigarettes off of. Then the family started a crazy flash mob. So we're like, why do we hear ABBA coming from the back of the chateau? Where is this? We need to get there now. So we run over and the cousins have organized a strategic flash mob that's out of your dream movie. One of them is down to the stairs directing everyone. Everyone's up on the stairs. People are up in the chateau in the windows, fanning out bed sheets and clothes. It was just a scene from a movie, to be honest.
And the soundtrack was ABBA. Can you imagine a more perfect soundtrack to be having a 12 o'clock flash mob, drinks are flowing? Oh my God. I actually thought for a second we're in Saltburn. We're in a literal movie. Love it.
Incredible. And
Tallulah, one of the sisters of the groom, or the only sister of the groom, basically kept making this joke the entire weekend. Like, I know everyone like blah, 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 like our family, because they're so iconic. Everyone wants to be involved. She's like, I'm your last chance, boys. Anyone wants to be a part of this family? I'm your last choice.
She's so iconic.
I'm like, love her. Literally, how do I marry you? Because that is...
Can we do a three-way marriage? Because I also want to marry her.
Ménage à trois.
Which is funny because that was our joke before the wedding was ménage à trois. And we're like, okay, that's going to be the goal for this weekend. Did that happen? No.
Unfortunately not, but there's still time.
But we really solidified our friendship. So at this point, the mushrooms are starting to hit me. And I like run inside with the guy that I had made out with. Somehow we're playing pool again. We start making out on the pool table. I'm like, this is risky business. Anyone could walk in at any moment. And something about me, I don't like a public makeout if you're not my partner. Because again, we're playing the field. I'm open to other connections. So I'm like, let's go in the back room. So I take him to a secret back room in the chateau, close the door, throw him on the couch and get on top of him. Basically, all we do is make out. He did try to take a little bit farther and I was like, no, I'm not into that. I just met you. I don't know you. This is all you're gonna get. So there you go.
Nice try, but don't ask.
We make out for a little bit and I was like, hey, let's go join the party. I want to hang out with everyone. So we run back into the pool table room and I immediately start cracking up. Everyone was like, where were you two? And at that point, the mushrooms had fully hit me and I just start dying of laughter. I was like, Zoe, I need a meeting outside now. So I grab her and I was like, the mushrooms are hitting. I can't keep a straight face. Like, I gotta go.
While this bitch is getting her jollies, I'm stuck in the pool room with all these fucking boys that we've been messing with all night. We've already missed the shuttle, okay? There's one shuttle. We're about 5 miles away. It could be walkable if you absolutely needed to walk it, but it's pitch black. It's in the countryside. There's like no streetlights, nothing. And these boys are panicked. How are we gonna get home? We need to message our driver. Our driver hates us. He's not going to pick us up. We might have to sleep in the backyard.
I've never seen boys stress so much.
I was like, yo, we're all going to find our way home. No worries. They're having a fucking panic attack. I was over it. I said, I'm going to go find the Brits. I'm going to go find your guy's best friend. And I'm going to go hang out with him because he's going to handle stuff.
Yeah.
This motherfucker was 8 feet tall. I'm not joking. Looking up to talk to him. Neck broken.
We kept calling him Prince Henry because he was giving prince energy.
He was a prince. Yeah. He was royal.
So I ran outside to the back. I met up with Tallulah. And at this point, another boy was talking to Tallulah about how he has a crush on me. And Tallulah's like, just make your move. And I was telling her, I was like, no, don't let him make move because he was black out and kind of weirdo. And so he comes up to me and grabs me. And I don't know why his voice sounded like freaking Grog. What's that? Like tree trunk man?
Oh, what is I don't know. I keep thinking he sounds like RFK Jr.
Basically that. Someone with a really heavy, dark voice. But he was like, he grabs my shoulders.
Hello, Taylor, I've always had a crush on you.
Taylor.
It's always been you.
Taylor, I've always loved you.
I was like, ew, ew, ew. I'm having a visceral reaction. Like, bleh.
You have no idea what went through my face at that moment. I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to say to this? And he's like, I don't know if you can tell, but I've been kind of shy. Da, 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 da. And I knew he was moving up to the bay soonish. So I was like, you know what? When you move up to the bay, why don't you just take me on a date and we'll see where it goes from there. I'm just kind of trying to get out of it because I wasn't really into this. And then he comes in, leans in for a kiss and like plants one on me. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And so I pull away. He's swaying. You can tell no one's home. So I just like pat him on the shoulder. And I was like, I think the last taxi's coming. You should probably get in that because I know your place is pretty far. I shoot him off. And I was like, gotta go. Immediately find you and the girls.
No. Meanwhile, I was with Prince Henry and he was handling shit. He said, I'll text the driver. We're boys. No problem. He'll take you home. Love a provider man. Love men who handle shit. He's like, you're not going to walk home. No, no, no. Not on my watch. Not on mine. Don't worry. Me and the lads will take care of you. This is the worst British accent in the world. I need to work on it. I'll get better. I promise. So he was handling shit for us. He was negotiating with drivers, trying to get us home. Eventually, again, we love the French. One of the workers overheard that we didn't have a ride home. She was like, no worries, girls. I'll take you home.
She's like, you're 5 minutes down the road. Hop in the car. Let's get out of here. It was the wedding planner. How kind of her.
Love her.
Yeah. So we ended up getting home at like 3 a.m. We immediately go up to our room, get out all of our bread and cheese, and just have like a 2-hour debrief. We are reenacting scenes from the night because all of us had a different perspective. I kept calling them my side quests and I'd run off and do who knows what with who knows who. And so we were all coming together, combining all of our different POVs and all of our different stories from the night and piecing together different elements. And it was the most fucking fun.
I don't think I've laughed that hard in about a year.
Like, I think I almost peed my pants.
That was debatably better than the night out.
Sometimes the debrief is better than the actual night.
The debrief is always better than the actual night because you get so much lore. It was so much fun. And just hearing who was approaching which girl, what we were overhearing, who was talking to us about who was roasting our podcast. Oh, that person tried to kiss you. Like, it was so much fucking fun.
And some of the boys even were coming up to me and were like, hey, so what's the deal with the girl in the green dress? One of our other friends. Like, she's kind of cute. Is she into any of these guys? And I was like, let me go find out. So then I'm running over to my friends and I'm like, this guy thinks you're kind of cute. Are you into it or are you not into it? And it was just so fun running around and scheming and playing things up and just getting into trouble. It's my favorite fucking thing to do.
Chapter four. The wedding. The event of the season, darling.
The event of the century for a celebration of a decade of love. This shit, next level.
This shit popped off.
If there's one thing about our best friend, Evie, is that she is the most curated, effortlessly elegant queen. Every detail was perfectly designed for her vision.
One thing I really appreciate about her is she knows what matters and what doesn't matter. Because some people, you know, they have all the money in the world and they still don't have the fucking taste. Every decision was perfect. No one gives a fuck about this. Pay it no mind. This is something that, like, no one pays attention to. Let's do this.
Like, and every single napkin that she had was embroidered with an E and an F on it.
Just details.
Such
just
a cute very little detail. And you can keep one of those forever.
She walked down the aisle. They both did with both sets of parents, which I thought was really beautiful. It looked stunning. She looked stunning.
A princess.
I mean, her look was classic. The photography will look good for forever.
I can't wait to see those photos. I feel like we were also the photographer's favorites. Every time I'd look over, he'd be like, girls, get together. Photo shoot, go.
I know. I loved him. Yeah, she looked amazing. They had beautiful vows. I cried.
I also cried.
You know, they're one of... I'm going to say it. I'm going to be bold.
Be bold.
I only like about 10% of my friends' boyfriends' partners, and I fucking love them together. They are perfectly matched. She's a curator of all things and a curator of people as well, and they just work. They bring out the best in each other. So to see them celebrate their love together and to see it come together so beautifully, I was like, this is just a reflection of the life that you guys
want. It's the life that you deserve, and it's the life that you have. Like, you two together really are a force. So couldn't be any more excited for them.
100%. Like you mentioned, the kind of life that they have created for themselves is so beautiful. And it's something that I look up to and that I want to find in a partner one day. So they really just are that couple.
They're in a league of their own.
They are.
They really are.
So the wedding was gorgeous. After was a cocktail hour that I felt like never ended.
Zoe, I got turned up at that cocktail hour.
Yeah, we got a little turntina. Zoe ate the stinkiest cheese that looked like a straight up barnacle from the deep sea.
It looked like a rotting human brain. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Obviously had a photo shoot. Photo, photo, photo. Every single girl got the shot. Except for us.
Girls. Girls, you know I love you. I support everything you do. You can do no wrong in my eyes unless it's taking fucking photos.
Yes.
Okay, quick tangent. We're going to take a little crash course. We're going to come back to the wedding, put a pin in it.
Boom.
Walk with me.
I'm walking.
Let's just talk basic photography.
Basic.
Your subject should be in the middle of the photo. No slanting.
No slanting. Why are you holding the phone sideways?
Don't want that.
Also, space-wise, the photo should be in the bottom two-thirds of the photo. So you want to have some space above, about one-third above. Okay? Are you guys with me?
Yeah, I'm tracking. I'm following.
So we have the subjects in the middle, and you have about one-third of space above their head. Let's do some full body. Let's do some close-up. Let's do some zoomed in. Two times, three times. Detail shot. We need multiple different angles.
Now, let's take it to level two. Maybe clean a camera. Maybe wipe off the lens.
Always. Actually, that's level one. Always wipe the lens. No sunscreen, no sweaty ass fingers, no smudges on there.
Let's make sure the light is facing the subject. And my God, if you need to tell your friend to suck in her stomach.
Or fix her dress.
Just remind her, hey, boo-boo, your arm's pressed really hard against your body. Just lift it off a little bit. I know you'll like that angle a lot better.
And you know what is also underrated? Some hype behind the camera. Yes, slay queen. That looks so good. Oh my God, your ass is so fat. Holy shit, this is the photo. This is going in vogue. We need some hype behind the photo to get them excited, to get them feeling themselves.
My last tip. If you take 10 photos, you're the op. You're the opponent. You're the enemy within.
Okay? We need at least 20 to 30.
Just keep clicking. Keep moving and clicking, moving and clicking, moving closer, moving farther away. Tell them to laugh. Tell them to joke.
Just tell them to look off to the side. Tell them to look back at it. Get creative. We were on the floor at one point. Zoe and I were literally on the ground in our dresses getting the angle of our girls.
So that's just a little lesson here.
Can you tell we're passionate?
That's why we have no photos together. It looks like we aren't even friends. It looks like we're not. Yeah. It just looks like we stalk each other in different locations, but we're never together.
Yeah.
Because no one can ever get a photo of us. So
please. One day we will. Our best photos are selfies that we have. So if you only see selfies of us, that's why.
Boom. So back to the wedding.
Back to the wedding.
Now let's move forward.
To the dinner.
To the main event. One could say, one of the events. One of the main events. Yeah.
So we sit down at dinner. Again, they made these seating arrangements way back when. Guess who I'm sitting next to? The guy that I keep happening to make out with.
And guess who I'm sitting next to? Just a bunch of couples. I'm like, yo, what the?
I low-key missed the guys that we sat with at the rehearsal dinner because we just had a fun, like, little schemey group. But I sat next to the guy that I kept making out with. He looks to me and he's like, Taylor, they made these seating arrangements 3 months ago. They must have known we'd hit it off. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. At this point, he was really trying to convince me to have kids. And I don't want kids. That's a boundary for me. It could change. But right now, I don't want it. And I was, again, a little drunk, a little turntina. And I was like, I can't keep talking about my future unborn children with you. We can have a different cheeky banter moment. But I can't keep talking about my future kids.
No, it's actually your nightmare situation.
No. I felt like at dinner, you and I were so antsy, we couldn't sit still.
Gremlin mode.
Literally gremlin mode. We left the table to go get water. We left the table to steal a bottle of rosé from the kitchen. We left the table to go upstairs in the chateau and do more mushrooms with our one friend. We basically were just kind of scheming.
Scheming. I felt like at the table I was getting really tired. Like, I was like, I need to be mobile. I need to be up and out. And so, yeah. We were on demon mode. Who cares? We're just doing our thing. I want to talk about the speeches really quick. Sometimes at a wedding, the speeches drag. They're not funny.
They're too long. Or there's like weird tensions behind them sometimes where you're like, wait a second.
Like, was that a stab?
I know when I first met you, Jason, I really didn't like you. And while I've grown to tolerate you, I know that you make my best friend happy.
God.
Everyone's like, okay.
Take away the mic. No, these speeches actually changed my life.
Did they?
I just thought Tallulah's speech and Brendan's speech were hilarious, tasteful, sprinkled with love, and just really painted a beautiful picture of Evelyn and Felix's love story. And I just was entertained the entire time. I laughed. As well. I cried. It was incredible.
Loved the speeches. Now, chapter 5.
The after party.
The after party.
From dinner, we immediately go to a certain part of the grounds where they have a tent set up and a DJ and another bar and a table full of the most gorgeous espresso martinis. At this point, I just chugged 2 espresso martinis. It's game on. Me, Zoe, and Tallulah are running around like little frickin' fairies. We're frolicking the grounds. We're hanging on the poles. We're running into the pool on the little shallow end and running back and forth. We are just having the time of our lives.
I was doing miles. Absolute miles running around that
chateau. I wish I had my phone on me strictly just to count the steps that I got. I'm not kidding you. I think I hit 60K.
We were running. We were mobile. Oh my God, that was so fun. The songs that were playing were amazing. I was just getting amped in that environment.
The dance floor was so fun. I didn't leave the entire time we were there. We were dancing with the cousins. We were dancing with the parents. We were dancing with the friends. The only person we didn't want to be dancing with was that one guy that kept Dementor haunting all of us.
The guy who was drunk and kissed Taylor on the lips with his drunk lips.
Yeah, he was basically Dementor status haunting everyone.
He was so blacked out, he was swaying, just standing in the middle of the dance floor, mouth agape. That's disturbing in itself.
Staring, mouth no one moving, home.
No one home. And at one point, he starts to lift his heels. So it almost looked like
he was levitating.
He was levitating.
He was my sleep paralysis demon. It was scary. His friends literally had to take him off the dance floor and sit him down and give him water. I'm like, bro, how old are you? Like, why can't you handle your alcohol? This is scary.
This is embarrassing. You're a grown-ass man. Get a grip.
Yeah. So that was wild. People were lifting each other up. We were waving white napkins around. Evie and Felix were the belles of the balls. Evie did an outfit change and had a gorgeous stunning dress on. It was just the most fun event that I've been to in a long time.
All of a sudden, though, there was all this broken glass on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And I looked down and Taylor's barefoot just dancing on glass. And I was like, yo, can you put some shoes on? She's like, nah, I'm good. And I'm like, you are just dancing on glass.
Yep.
She cut the fuck out of her feet.
Yeah, I had like 2 gashes on my feet, but I was like, I don't give a fuck. So at this point, we basically have another after party and one of their friends DJs in the barn. And so they set up and it's again, just a feral dance party. At this point, it's nearing 2:30 in the morning, which is the time for the last shuttle. All my friends are like, Taylor, last shuttle's coming. I look at all of them and I'm like, I'm not getting on that thing. They're like, are you sure? There's no other way for you to get home. And I was like, I'll figure it out. I can't leave. I'm having too much fun.
I look at her. I say, sayonara. I'll see you when I see you. I trust you'll make your way home. I'm like, I'm not missing this bus. I'm tired. I've been in the sun all day. Get me home. It's cool. I don't want to make out with any of your asses. See ya.
I didn't even want to make out with anyone. I just wanted to keep dancing and hanging out. So
there's always a makeout element, though.
There is.
Is her name Taylor Hamilton?
Yes. At this point, it's only family that's staying at the chateau left and probably like 6 straggler friends that also were like, I'm not getting on that shuttle. So I convince everyone to go jump in the pool after the barn party. So we all run to the pool in our dresses and our suits. Everyone jumps in the water. We are probably in the pool for an hour and a half, just messing around, throwing each other, playing chicken, etc. And then I was like, okay, it's getting cold. I want to go change. After I change, I'm like, where is everyone? And I just hear a bunch of giggling coming from the kitchen. So I go down to the kitchen and everyone's there just drinking rosé and champagne. And we basically stay up until 5:30 in the morning, playing games, drinking, and just having a ball. At one point, we're full on racing in the gardens of the chateau. And Felix opens up the window and he's like, guys, it's 6 a.m. Like, go to sleep. And so at that point, we're like, okay, I guess we probably should go to sleep. So Tallulah was like, just run up and like get in my bed. Like, it's fine. Just sleep with me. And I was like, perfect. So somehow I scored a bed.
I love that. While you're doing that, if we rewind to me leaving the party, you know, I'm sitting on the bus, a few people are getting on, and this guy gets on the bus, and he's kind of like the class clown type, like says ridiculous shit, really funny, kind of wore some weird outfits, just honestly for the gag, like I think he just wanted the reaction. He gets on the bus and he's like, oh my God, tonight was so fun, blah, blah, blah. He's being funny, everyone's laughing. And then he goes, and some guy kissed me. We're like, some guy kissed you? He's like, yeah, the guy in the plaid pants. And I start racking my brain for all the young guys who might have been wearing plaid pants and literally drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm.
No young man wore plaid pants. But do you know who did wear plaid pants was a 90-year-old who was there. So we were all like, wait a second. Are you talking about the old guy?
He's like, yup.
He's like, yeah, the guy with plaid pants. And we're like, not the guy with plaid pants. Are you talking about the 90-year-old man who was here? And he said, yeah, we were upstairs looking at art together. And then he stuck his fucking tongue down my throat.
No!
And we were all like, what?
Are you okay? Blink twice.
He's laughing. Then we all kind of start laughing. But on the inside, I was like, are you okay? Like, that's not okay that this guy did it. Then he starts referring to this guy as Nosferatu. That actually sent me.
When you guys told me that the next morning, I couldn't see anything else except for Nosferatu.
He was Nosferatu, literally. He literally was. That's your visual.
So the next morning, it's 9 a.m. I get up. I text my friends, please come pick me up. So I sneak out of the chateau. I was like, no one can see me leave. So I run down the stairs. I grab my dress and my heels. It's almost like I'm doing a walk of shame or a stride of pride, as I call it. But I literally slept in Tallulah's bed. So like nothing actually happened. But I run across the lawn and Evie was like, who the hell is that running across the lawn? She's like, oh my God, that's Taylor. So I'm waiting outside the chateau. Shannon and Kiana pick me up. We basically go back to the bed and breakfast, pack up all of our shit. Get ready for the barbecue.
This is when we're all sitting at the pool party. We're eating, we're drinking, we're saying our goodbyes. Kind of a slow morning to end the week. Nosferatu comes out, I'm not kidding you, in a men's sleep dress that went to the floor with like pinstripes. And he had one of those hats.
It was so bad.
That like literally, I don't even know. It's like a Santa hat that is like
long. Like a sleep Santa hat.
Yeah, like a sleep hat. And I was like, that's the guy who kissed that other guy. That was literally fake.
That was jail. That was my sleep paralysis demon.
That was Nosferatu in the sun.
Yeah.
That was just a really enjoyable weekend. And then we decide it's time to go.
Yeah. So me, Shannon, and Zoe drive 5 hours down to Montpellier. Stayed in the worst fucking Airbnb ever. It was 95 degrees, no AC. We slept in wet t-shirts because we were so fucking hot. I'm running on fumes at this point because I've slept a total of 5 hours the last 4 days. We basically sleep, get up early, drive down to Nice, where we'd have the best week of our life, frolicking around the south of France.
The highlights of this, honestly, were just like, it was so nice to be with a bunch of girls. It was so beautiful. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the south of France. It's really, you know, obscure. Not a lot of people know about it.
Really not on the map.
It's really not on the map. It's like this really unique and new place that we kind of discovered on our own through a lot of research. And it was beautiful. I mean, it really lived up to the hype. Gatorade blue water.
The biggest fucking yachts I've ever seen in my life.
It was incredible. We get there. We're swimming in the water. I don't really like the water. I don't fuck with the water like that. If I'm getting in the water, I'm a princess. I'm a diva. It needs to be clear. It needs to be Gatorade blue. And it needs to be about 80 degrees.
Yep.
Then I'll happily swim. We get in that first day. And I mean, I was in the water that trip. I kept getting in. You couldn't get me out.
I know. I was actually proud of you.
Thank you. And then I actually have a bone to pick. So our friend got stung by a jellyfish, and this guy, who I thought was local, I don't know if you're local or not, he was like, oh my God, come here. I'll help you. She's like freaking out. He starts rubbing sand on it, and he's like, this is like a local, like this will help with the burn. And then he takes some seaweed. He's like rubbing it into her fucking thing. And then he tries to put it in her mouth. And then she was like, wait, what? And he was like, haha, I was just fucking with you.
Yeah, total asshole.
That was evil.
Yeah, and I was like, T-Mac, go down to the lifeguard right now. Like, we need to get some cream for this. So she's like running down the rock beach. The guy basically put some cream on her. We get back to our Airbnb, which first off is a gorgeous Airbnb right on the fucking water. Mm-hmm. Literally penthouse of our dreams. I will think about that house for forever. But we realize that there's still one of the stingers in her arm. So we take out one of the stingers and then we like do some research, right? She goes to shower off in warm water and like cleans it all out. But then she had like a little stamp of a jelly on her for the rest of the trip. And it was like her little friend.
Well, I was just thinking that that guy rubbing shit into her thing, he could have broken off the stinger in her arm.
Yeah, not great.
I curse that guy.
Literally.
A thousand.
Fuck that guy.
I curse you 1,000 times.
We hope you get stung by 1,000 jellyfish.
On your dick.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck that guy. Beach club. Another beach club. Aperol spritz. Cigarette.
More rosé. Club. Beach club.
More bread. More cheese. More bread. Cheese.
At this point.
Wine.
At this point, I'm not feeling skinny anymore, but I'm fully embracing it and I don't give a fuck. We, you know, spend a half day in Monaco. We go down to a cute little town called Menton, which is right south of the Italian border. So just picture like an Italian French village, sorbet buildings right on the sea, crystal clear water. It was so gorgeous. We went to Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferret and beach top all the way around the little outlet. We went to Nice. We explored Nice. We rented a boat, obviously. We didn't get on someone else's yacht, so we chartered our own. Had a full day at sea, floated in the water, swam out to sea, drank a shit ton of mojitos. We went to this gorgeous restaurant called Le Plongeois. Don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it sounds good. And it was this restaurant out on a cliffside that I had to make a reservation for 3 months in advance. 100% worth the hype.
That was the best restaurant I've ever been to in my entire life.
We had our own private table in the back, jutting out on the water. Our private deck. It was incredible.
I mean, we were literally on top of the ocean on a cliff.
That was $1 million view.
$1 billion view. In today's market, $1 trillion view.
Yeah. It was just so much fun. Dressing up, being with the girls, gossiping, playing games, drinking wine. It was the girls' trip of my dreams, and I couldn't have imagined doing it with anyone else.
I do want to say that to get to the south of France, we had to drive about 7 hours.
Yeah.
The tolling system in France is insane. Every time you're on the freeway, you have to pay these crazy toll machines. You take a ticket, give a ticket. Take a ticket, give a ticket. And there was this one time when I was driving. I don't love driving, but like I'm a good driver. I can drive. It's fine. And for some reason, the gate at the toll went up. So I was like, oh, maybe this is just like a free toll. Like, just go. So I went. And then the toll almost slams down on the car. I was like, oop, I don't think I was supposed to go.
Panic ensues.
I was like, no worries. I'll just go through the automatic lane where all the locals are going. Because I think that they had like maybe like a pass on their car. I'll just break the law. I'll just go through there. As I'm pulling up to the next toll, hoping to just go automatically through in our rental, that's their problem to pay for. The toll, boom, slams down. I'm like, fuck, what am I supposed to do? I'm on the freeway. Everyone's honking because you're just supposed to go through. And I start going, I'm panicking. My friend, our friend, Shannon goes, take a breath. It's going to be fine. Put the car in park. Park the car. I had to read off my credit card number. I mean... That was one of the moments I was like, thank God I have a friend here because...
Yeah, we had to press this button. They called us. We went in the wrong lane. They're like, yeah, we know. Had to read off our credit card number. Basically, they accepted it and we got through. I don't know what the fuck is going on with that toll system, but it was wild.
It was wild.
Every like 10 miles, there was a new toll and it was kind of expensive to drive.
It was. It was like 30 euros every time. It was like crazy.
And I was like, okay, that's something we should have looked at before. Okay. But yeah, after the south, Zoe and I went up to Lyon because my cousin and her fiance live there. And Lyon is more of a local city, I would say. It's way less touristy. So it was really cool ending the trip there and just feeling like we were almost locals in a way and got to just walk around, see the sights. We were only there for like a day and a half, but they took us to some amazing restaurants. We tried a lot of stinky cheese. We got a lot of steps and we had a fabu time.
That honestly was debatably one of the highlights of my trip. I mean, aww. I loved being with everyone, but it was really nice, honestly, just to bop around the two of us. We lived in Europe twice together, so just like, it just felt really right to just be exploring, and we love to do the same things. We were sitting in cafes and having little drinks and just talking. It was so fun.
The weather was perfect. We were going in and out of vintage stores, art stores, my dream date. And then to be with your cousin was like so awesome. Like she was so friendly and nice, so welcoming and hospitable. And then they just really showed us around the town and took us to amazing restaurants. And we spent afternoons in giant food markets, which I'm a foodie. That was such a dream to just really be in like a food hall like that. Proper culinary excellence.
Yeah, we got all the different French things. She was buying us the foie gras. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I kind of like it. I don't
even know. That we were getting the stinkiest cheeses that there were known for. We were getting macaroons and we were getting this like breaded meat dish and all the salamis. And it was just such a fun little French spread.
And then we flew home. That flight home was brutal. We basically were on Spirit Air.
Yeah. We booked Iberia, but got slotted on something called Level, which I'd never even heard of. Basically budget flights from Barcelona to SFO. Man, that flight was fucking long.
My back was broken for about 3 days after.
Yep.
Anyways, if anyone ever wants to go to Europe, there's this really quaint little area called the South of France. I think you should check it out.
Put it on the map, but you know, we don't want to blow it up too much.
Yeah, it's still pretty underground.
But anyways, if you guys want Rex, we have a full itinerary and dock associated to our gorgeous, gorgeous trip. We had a blast.
So yeah, I guess that's it. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Parlez-vous anglais?
Parlez-vous anglais? Bonjour. A bientôt et bonsoir. Comment tu t'appelles? Comment tu t'appelles? Je m'appelle. Anyways, that's all the French we know. We had a great fucking time. We missed you guys. We'll be back soon to debrief what we've been up to the last few weeks. But if you have questions, stories, write in. Give us 5 stars, please. It helps us. It helps you. It helps more people find us. And we love you. So, stay tuned.
Bye.
Bye.